Again, Lord, we thank you for this time of offering. We pray that what we present before you this morning would be acceptable in your sight. We pray your blessings upon these gifts. We pray that you would use them according to your will and your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.
Charge to keep I have. God to glorify. An ever dying soul to save. And fit it for the sky. Charles Wesley, that great preacher, wrote these words: help me to watch and pray and still on thee rely. Oh, let me not my trust betrayed, but press to rims on high. To serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. O Lord our God, we wait now for the falling of your Holy Spirit. You have been in this place, in this sanctuary. Words of scripture have been read. Songs of praise have been offered. Welcome has been extended. The bells have given you praise this day. And now it's preaching time. It's a time when the word of God comes forth. We pray that it will come forth with power, with clarity. Be not, O God, and help us to be not discouraged by what we see, but to be encouraged by what we hear. And so I ask that you would use me as never before. You have used me in months and days and weeks past. And so I pray that you would not pass me by this day, but that your power would be shown in the message. Confess my sins and pray for your forgiveness. And I receive your forgiveness right now. Thank you again for being a God who forgives and who uses. Persons like me to preach your word. In the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we pray. And all the people of God said amen. Amen. And those who were not afraid said amen. Amen. And those who are not afraid shouted hallelujah. 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 Pastor Martin, you are invited to join us in the pulpit if you like. Or you may remain there with the wife. If you got a sermon in your pocket and it's burning, you want to come preach it, you can do that right now too. But we're glad that you're here. Thank you for worshiping with us. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 serves as the basis for the morning message. The importance of waiting. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and giveth to all men liberally. Look at your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, there is an importance to waiting. The importance of waiting. This text comes to us from the writings of Jesus' brother, James. He is the brother of Jesus. He is the son of Mary. He is the son of Joseph. He was not a disciple of his brother, Jesus the Christ. But as soon as Jesus had left the scene, he steps up as a disciple, a learner, a follower of Jesus the Christ. He writes these words to us that we may become knowledgeable of the importance of being patient, the importance of waiting. Most of us do not lack to wait. How many of you have been to the doctor, arrived several minutes before the appointed time, 10, 15 minutes, and did not see the doctor at the time that was set, but 45 minutes to an hour later, he comes in, or you escorted to the examining room? How many of us have waited at the bus stop, waiting for the bus to come? And the bus is late coming. What do we do when we step on the bus? We don't say anything to the bus driver about why are you so late. We anticipated that the driver would be there on time. Can I help somebody today by telling us that he may not come when we want him? But Deacon Fairbanks, he's an on time. He is an on time God. Not long ago, I had the privilege of going, not long ago, being about 40 years ago, I had the opportunity to go to New York City. And there, waiting on the subway, waiting on the train, I discovered that there was a person who did not look like me, did not smell like me. And I addressed him. I said, "Sir, how are you doing?" He said, "I've been waiting a long time." I said, "For the train?" He said, "No, I've been waiting for somebody to ask me, how am I doing?" Many times we see people and we see them not as children of God. We see them as persons who are non-persons in our lives. Y'all missed that. We do not see people as people, and yet there are folk who are just waiting for somebody to interact with them. When I look at the text and notice what James, he identifies himself as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He writes to the 12 tribes who are scattered abroad. And listen to what he says. "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations." I wish I had time to talk about temptations. You know, we all are tempted by something. Some of us are tempted by people who we think have authority and power, and we migrate to them, hoping that they will see us and acknowledge us. Some of us are tempted by employment, by working in a firm that is known throughout the nation. And once we get the job, we discover that that's not the job. That's not the company that we want to work for. And so we begin a process again of of awaiting while searching for a better place of employment. But I want to share at least three things about the importance of waiting. First of all, waiting teaches us not to be afraid of failure. Can you say that with me? Waiting teaches us. Y'all not helping me. If you help me, we get out sooner. Waiting teaches us not to be afraid of failure. Star baseball players only hit the ball about 3 times out of every 10 times. They live with such a high rate of failure by focusing on the law of average. They know that if they just keep swinging the bat, they will get on base. The other day, I saw an interview with Hank Aaron, one of the great African-American baseball players. The person asked him, "What is it that made you great?" And guess what he said? "First of all, it was a gift of God." Oh, that's an amen right there. "It was the gift of God. And secondly, it was waiting for the right pitch." Oh, talking to a man who was in his 50s and had come to the office, and he was talking about getting married. And I said to him, "How old are you?" He said, "I'm 55. I said, "That's the speed limit." He laughed. He said, "Yeah." He said, "I've driven 55. He said, I said, "Why did you wait? Why at 55 you want to get married? He said, "I was waiting for the right woman." Somebody will shout on that one. He said, "I was waiting for the right woman." We ought to shout on that. I said, in order for you to find the right woman, you have to be the right man. He looked at me and said, "What do you mean?" I said, "In the time of your waiting, did you develop an attitude that when I find her, I will know her not by the way she looks or not by the way she acts, but I will know her by her heart, by how she treats me and others?" Hank Aaron said he was waiting on the right pitch. The right pitch. The psalmist said, "I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me. He heard my cry." But it was his waiting patiently on the Lord that gave him the ability to pray to God. Sometimes when we're going through something, when we're having trouble and problems in our lives, we need to learn to wait patiently. That means without doubt, without confusion. We know that we're waiting on God, and we're expecting God to speak to us. We're expecting God to answer our prayer. Secondly, an important thing about waiting is that it teaches us not to quit. It teaches us not to quit. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain. But then the Holy Spirit comes and revives my soul again. There's something about the power of the Holy Spirit that enters into our lives when we wait on the Lord and not quit. How many times have you given up?
How many times have you quit on a relationship? How many times have you quit on a church because the church did not respond the way you thought it should respond? Listen to what God says. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Don't quit. Wait. Waiting can become a bridge to success. In waiting, Napoleon was the 42nd person in his class, a class of 43. Yet, y'all didn't hear that. He almost didn't make it. But he was the 42nd person in a class of 43. Yet, he went on to build an army that conquered most of the world. Why? Because he did not quit. Paul writes, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Quitting means I'm not willing to wait. I'm not willing to be blessed by the power of God that I want it when I want it, and when I want it, I want it now. I enjoy popcorn. And every now and then I go to the store, my favorite store, the dollar store. Y'all, come on now. Y'all looking at me like you don't go to the dollar. That's fine. You don't have to go. But I do. Sister Harrison, I went to the dollar store and I bought popcorn. And I noticed that the instructions on the popcorn that said this side up, I paid that no mind. I put it in the microwave and I didn't hear anything popping after 2 minutes. I took it out and discovered that I had not followed the instructions, and the popcorn that should have popped was not burned. I learned a lesson. And that lesson is that you must follow instructions. For the instruction that Isaiah gives is, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I threw that bag away. Rick Fairbanks, I put it in on this side up. And guess what? In a minute, I had a bag of popcorn because I followed the instructions and waited for it to pop. Come on. Y'all missing it. Y'all missing it. Reverend Samuel Mathis says that he hopes that the gospel will come forth so much until folk will jump up like popcorn. He's expecting that the gospel will be preached and the power of the Holy Spirit will bless the person, and the person will acknowledge that I waited and God infused me with power. So, my brothers and sisters, the word today is, do not be afraid to wait. And finally, waiting tests our faith. The other day, I went to the dentist. And he came in and he said, Reverend, you have some bad teeth. And I really need to pull. I said, can't you put a little clay around it? Save that tooth. He looked at me, he said, ain't much to save. There's not much to save. I need to pull it. So I said, well, it's not hurting. I came in to get my teeth cleaned. Y'all missing it? I didn't come for a pulling. I didn't come to spend more money. I just wanted my teeth to be clean. He said, if you don't, he said, I can clean it. But the pressure I put on it may develop pain later. I wish somebody would help me here. Every now and then when you're going through something, you go for one reason and you discover that there's another problem. And you want to wait for that problem to solve itself. And it may not solve itself. You may need to have something pulled.
Are y'all missing it?
There's something on the inside of us. Sometimes it's hatred. Sometimes it's jealousy. Sometimes it's just that I can't wait. I need to push somebody out the way so I can sit in that seat. Can I help you here? Just because it's a good seat, it doesn't mean that you can sit in it. It doesn't mean that it's easy for you to assume to that position. For you don't know what the person went through to get to that position. It looks easy, but guess what? It's not easy. I wish I could take time to talk to some preachers here. It's not easy being a pastor. One day, folks say, I love you. The next day, they say, vote him out.
Y'all missing it.
Well, can I help you here? Can I help you here? Some people are in positions because they waited to get in the position. They went to school. They studied. They prepared themselves so that when the time came, they could step forward when they heard, who will go for us and whom shall I send? Hear my Lord, send me. Waiting test our faith. Trials are designed to make us complete. Some time ago, I shared this with the 8 o'clock service. Some time ago, I had some muscles. Some time ago, Jacket would feel my arm and just enjoy the muscles. I said, some time ago, I had some muscles. Now it's just... Somebody back there helping me preach. They said, now it's just flabby. But you know how I got those muscles? I got those muscles by lifting weights. Every weight that I lifted gave strength to the muscles. If you want power with God, you have to lift the muscle of prayer. You have to talk to God, not just sometimes, but daily. You have to talk to God and be willing to praise Him, not just on Sunday mornings, but daily. He deserves a daily praise. There was a man, the Bible tells us, who laid by the pool for 38 years. When Jesus came by and saw him lying there. Now, he wasn't there 24 hours of the day. His family brought him to the pool daily, as did the man that was born crippled. How he family brought him daily to the temple. Here he is for 38 years. And when Jesus asked him, did he want to be made whole? What he did was explain to the man who could make him whole why he was not whole. He said, I wait for the angels to come down to trouble the waters, to stir the waters, for at a certain season, the angels would come down and they would trouble the water, and the first person that got in was made whole, was healed. He said, I've been coming here for 38 years waiting for the troubling of the water. I wish I had time to talk about the water in its obedience to the word of God. You remember in Exodus, when the children of Israel were coming out of slavery, when they were coming out of Egypt and stood by the Red Sea, and Moses talked to God and God told him, stretch out the rod, and guess what? The waters separated them. So I wished I had time to talk about waters and obedience to the Almighty God. You remember when at the wedding they ran out of wine, and the Bible says that there was water in water pots, and Jesus told the men to just pour out the waters. Can I help somebody here? Water understand the will of God and the presence of God. Waiting for the troubling of the water. And Jesus looked at him and said to him, do you want to be made whole? He's paralyzed by excuses. We cannot do the will of God with excuses. They don't treat me right. They don't follow my instructions. They don't follow my leadership. Don't worry about what folk do. Worry about whether God has called you to a position of leadership. And if he has called you to a position of leadership, lead on. Don't worry about the world. Just keep marching. Just keep walking in righteousness, in obedience to God, and God will make a way. God will bring light into your darkness, peace into your confusion. Wait on him. Trials are designed to make us complete. The Bible says that Jesus said to him, take up your bed and walk. Here's a man who had not walked, who had not moved and with activity in his limbs for 38 years. And Jesus said to him, take up your bed and walk. The Bible says that he took up his bed and he took up his pallet and he started walking. You know what the old preacher said? If it had been me, and he said, take up your bed and walk, I would have thought he passed me the baton to run. Y'all, that rather than walking, I would have started running. But guess where he went? He didn't go home to his family and talk to them about the man that caused him to walk. The Bible says that Jesus saw him in the temple. If you've been waiting on God and God has answered your prayer, has brought you through the darkness, and through his amazing grace, he has brought you to a new light, and he's taken your hand and led you to a new stance, to a new place. You ought not go to the world and tell the world about it. You ought to go to church and thank God for it. Is there anybody here that's been through a storm in life and God has brought you through it, and you come now to say thanks be to God for all? Is there anybody here that didn't have a job and God opened up a door for you? You got a pink slip on Friday, but Monday you walked in a new job. Is there anybody here that can say, I waited patiently on the Lord, and he brought me through? Can I tell you something? You know,
People say, Reverend Jimerson, you ought not talk about yourself. You ought not talk about the hard times you had. Well, if I don't talk about the hard times I had, then you wouldn't know how the Lord brought me through. If I couldn't tell you about how the Lord has blessed me, then you would not know that I've come through danger seen and unseen. If I could not tell you how the Lord has blessed me, you would not know how he took me by my hand and led me from the ghetto, led me from the projects, and made me a project of his holiness, a project of his life. I've been through the storms and I've been through the wind, but thanks be to God, he brought me through. And you can say don't do it, but I tell you, if I don't praise him, the rocks will cry out, and I don't want any rock crying out for me. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every bone. Lord, belong as I live. I'm going to church. I'm going to church. You don't have to go to church with me. I know you haven't been through what I've been through. But when I look back and see how far the Lord has brought us, my confession is I waited patiently on the Lord. And he brought me through. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometime almost level with the ground. But guess what? If I fall, if I falter, he's there. I know I'm not talking to anybody that's sin. You all have been holy all your life. But guess what? When you get to heaven and you see some folk there that you thought ought not be there, that you just say, how in the did they get here? Guess what? Guess what? Guess what? They're asking the same question. How did you get here? But I can tell you how I'll get to heaven. I will not come through riches. I will not come through knowledge. I come by the blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash my sins away? What can make me whole again? Nothing. Nothing. Not money. Not education. Nothing. But the blood of Jesus. And you're wondering why I gotta shout. He's been good to me. Why I can cry, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, because he's been good to me. Is there anybody here that the Lord has been good to you? Has he been good to you? Has it been good to you? Heal your body of cancer. Has it been good to you? He's been good to me. Shelton, he's been good to me. And I'm going to wait on him. Wait on him. Wait on him. The importance of waiting is that it teaches us not to quit. The importance of waiting is that we know that God will show up. Adam, he'll show up. Adam, he'll show up. Adam came by the office and we were talking. He said, Reb, I can't talk too good. I looked at him, I said, 6 months ago you couldn't walk too good. And guess what? He's standing on his feet, and his testimony is that he can become a walking cane for you. Don't worry about talking. Just sing of his glory. Sing of his power. Sing of his might. And all the people of God said amen. Amen. And those who were not ashamed shouted hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.